so-and-so's prayer, but not my prayer? How can I help this situation? Why me? All these things start going into your head, and you really want to find out what's going on. Also, you can imagine that you went to bed confused last night because you have no idea how you're going to pay the Joneses that they lent the money to you when you were in financial situation. And then you start going into your mind, I know, I should, you know, it's taking a long time to pay this money, but to be honest, I don't have it. Now, your mind starts working because it's been so long, and now every time you come to church, you will see the Joneses are sitting over here, and they start waving at you, and now you're interpreting, what does that mean? Maybe they say, hurry up, come on. We need the money. I know the Joneses need the money, but how can I do this? And then later on, your mind starts to interpret things differently when you go down the hallway and you see the Joneses down there talking to some other people. And then keep looking at you, and then you say to yourself, they're talking about me now. I'm sure the Joneses are telling them that I haven't paid the money for it taking a long time. All these things that are going into your mind and pressure you, giving you a lot of pressure, and you feel a little bit anxious about this, get frustrated. How can you help yourself out of this situation? This morning we're going to look from the eyes of an old man, as we all know, Solomon. He is an old man, you know, not as old as Methuselah, but not as young as the youngest one in your church here, Mary Casper. She's 96. But Solomon is an old man that he learned how to walk with God, even though that he missed things along the way. But he learned how to live with reality. So in the prime of his life, he was full of wisdom. He's writing so many proverbs and songs. And even when he asked God for one thing, God blessed him with so much. The wealth, the wisdom. But he did mess things up. So coming to the old age, and now he's looking back now, and that's where Ecclesiastes came into the picture. Like giving some insight, giving some advice of how we should do things. You know, one of the famous word, or a popular word is in Ecclesiastes, is vanity or meaningless. But we have to put this in perspective and try to understand this, otherwise we mess up the text. So this morning, as that person is struggling, how on earth they will get some help for the Joneses, or how can I help so and so with difficulties that's beyond my understanding? Allow the old man to give us few advice of how we can cope with this, and then from the text we can see that Solomon actually is saying to you this morning, you know, your life is surrounded by God's peace because you do believe that he's in control of everything. Your life is surrounded by God's peace because you do believe that he is in control of everything. In other words, the peace of God, the one that Paul talks about that surpasses all understanding, that peace will be able to calm you down when you come to moments like this. Because the truth is, from what Solomon said, all these things, they are not, that's life. Why are you so surprised with those things? Why are you so surprised when there is mistreating of people, the oppression of the poor? What are you so surprised with the hierarchy system? People in higher position take advantage of the one that low. What's a surprise? This is what we call life. Wow, that's really tough, Solomon. This is what we call life. So he said, I like the way that the message put it. So let me read it to you. Don't be too upset when you see the poor kicked around and justice and right violated all over the place. Don't be too upset by that. The only thing that you need to focus on is if you believe that God is in control of everything, then you will have that peace. That peace surpasses all understanding. That peace will enable you to make right decision. I think the point that the old man is trying to give it to us is instead of getting frustrated or surprised by this, watch the way you respond. Watch the way that you will react to things like this. Watch the way that how you can help or cope with this, because otherwise there are two things. You will play the idea of being a provider, which is sometimes we think that we're helping people because it's, you know, it's a good thing, and yeah, absolutely good thing. But you need the wisdom of God to really show to you if that is a good way to help that particular person, especially when it comes to money, because this book is about wealth. And every time this person will come up, and then you always being a good person. Yeah, have this. Are you doing a good favor for that person? Or one of the things when you start seeing the there's no righteousness, the injustice in our system, in our government, then you start to respond negatively. Of course it's wrong. But now you're violating the principle of God, because all authorities are from above. But there are ways that we can do. There are ways that we can move in and face with this with these circumstances. So Solomon is reminding you this morning that the peace of God has surrounded you when you know and believe and trust that God controls everything. And the worst part is good thing and bad things. He knows what's going on there. He knows what's going on with that person that you're trying to help, that family member that's struggling. But you need to understand that the peace of God will dwell within you, help you to make right decision, right response to different situation. Solomon followed the same thing. As we all know, he started well. He was really good at it. He wasn't a bad king overall when he first started. But when God was not in the center of his heart, that is when things start to come out. And we all know that he started well, but he didn't finish well. And the result of that, the kingdom was divided. And poor son, Rehoboam, he struggled with that sin carry on. But praise be to God, because we don't have to be surprised by those things. Because now, if you look through that whole history, and here you are, and when you look and see Calvary, and you know that's where we all meet, Calvary. So when Solomon said, don't be too upset by this, that means that the only way for you, for making yourself not to be upset by these things, is when you have that peace of God in you. In other words, when you know and believe that God is in control. of your life. Another second advice from the old man: not only the peace of God indwell or surround your life, but your life is overflowing with joy, the true joy, because of what you believe, because of you believe that God is in control. Then you will have that real joy with that real peace in you. You will have the joy that it's not based on material things, because this is what he said in verse 10. The Message puts it this way: the one who loves money is never satisfied with money, nor the one who loves wealth with big profits. More smoke, The Message said. It's absolutely true. If that's the way you pursue happiness or joy in your life, by accumulating wealth, you're missing the point here. The old man, he was a rich person in the world. He has everything in life: honor, respect, wealth. He was a king too. Everything he had, but never satisfied. So now he's spoke to us this morning. Those things are all vanity. They are good things. They are God's resources. But when you play it in a different way, when you play it in your own way of thinking, that becomes wrong. When you start to pursue those things rather than things of God. So the old man say, hey, wait a minute. You better check it out. I don't think it's worth it. Pursuing God is the ultimate goal. He pointed out satisfaction, true satisfaction, it's not come from having lots of things. No. Having stuff. You know, we have our place. Sometimes you feel like, man, we have lots of stuff. In other words, we have lots of junk. And then it never makes us feel happy. This is what his point is. When you're pursuing those things for the purpose of gaining joy, real joy, you're not going to get anywhere, because enough is not there. There is a possibility that you always, and you know, let's face it, be honest to ourselves, there is a possibility that we always want more and more and more. And what happens when you have more and more and more? You become very unsettled. Your mind is busy. He said in Scripture, it's very hard to sleep. Have a nice meal. Have a nice drink with a meal. But it's hard to go to sleep. I had trouble sleeping last night. I'm really tired. I had trouble sleeping last night, and I thought maybe I'm a rich man. But that's not the issue. I didn't sleep well last night, not because of lots of money, it's because of don't know how to eat properly. And when you don't know how to eat, that's happened to you. But over here, this is what happened. The more wealth, the more things that you accumulate and pursuing, the more people will come and try to get from it. And all you have is you're watching things go and come. I like the way the Message puts it into a very simple English for us to understand. He's saying here, the more loot you get, the more looters show up. And what fun is that, to be robbed in broad daylight? See, that's the truth of the matter. The matter is, you're accumulating things, you think that gains the happiness and joy for you, but it's not. But also you're making a bad investment to other people as well. The people are coming, they ask for more and more and more. They're looking to you as a provider, rather than you helping people to see, look at God as the provider. It's interesting to find out, you know, I'm part of the mission board here in our church, and looking at the way we invest money and in sending money overseas, it's good, but also it's bad. Because overseas, they keep looking at us, look at those Americans. They got lots of money. Let's write to them, call them, and hear us Americans, we don't want to go and be part of the mission. So sign the check, give it there. Check flies through everywhere, and people looking at us as providers rather than God. And that shows up the point that maybe God made a big mistake over here. See, I'm from the island. From the island, we don't have what we have here, especially snow. And that's why I left the island and came here for the snow. I just sidetracked here. On Thursday, some of us here from the office, we went down to rescue mission. And then we walked out in the parking lot. And I saw beautiful snow. So I picked up some and throw it at my face just to makes me feel that I'm really connected with snow. And then I went inside, and the receptionist, I said to her, how beautiful the snow outside. And the receptionist looked at me and said, are you okay? What the point is, it's never connected to what I'm just telling you. The point here, folks, we just want to pursue happiness in our own way. We just want to find joy in the way we think, in the way we feel. The old man said, no. It will give you more trouble when you have more stuff. And that's why I believe it's true. The IRS will call for more. They will lift up and add more taxes. This is not bad state to live. They put taxes on everything. Illinois taxes everything. But that's the problem. When you have more, this is what's going to happen. So Solomon, the old man this morning, reminding us, it's better, you know, even if you don't have much, it's okay, because you have God. God is the main thing. God is the main focus of here. If you have everything without God, you're a lost soul. So the point that he was trying to bring it to us this morning to understand that not only the peace of God is in us, the peace that surpasses all understanding, but also we will see the joy, the real joy in God, not from what we have, not from the wealth that we accumulate, but it's from God himself. So when you ask the question, are you there, God? Are you still in control? Why did you answer those prayer and not mine? Why? What's going on there? And God said, you need to trust me. Even Solomon learned that idea of trusting God. Even though that he messed things up, made a lot of bad choices in life. He married few women, had few wives. Especially when God make a rule or a policy not to marry other women from other nations, but he did the same mistake. But God still controlling his life. And when he recognized all this, now I can see, as Solomon said, this is all vanity. This is all no point for me. And then sometimes when you know that you have the peace of God in your heart, you have the joy that flows in your life from him, and then you see different circumstances around, things that you cannot handle, things that you cannot offer any help any longer. It's beyond you. Or the sickness that has been with you for so long. You're sick and tired of it. You're trying to do the best that you can, but you're still struggling. And then what about when you open the Word and you can see the same thing that Paul the Apostle had? And then he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We can say that. Why? Because we have the real peace in us, and also we have that joy because we believe that God is in control. And it's really tough because we're facing reality. It doesn't make any difference. And when we go outside after this service, it's the same thing. We will face the same situation. But the difference will be we know how to be able to face with these things. We will know how to react appropriately with these things. And not only the joy that coming overflowing with in our lives, but we can see the way that you are going to finish well. Why? Because we believe that God is in control. You are going to finish this life very, very well. You will be able to say it with confidence, what Paul said in 2 Timothy, that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I kept the faith. You will be able to say that. Why? Because you believe that he is in control of every situation that you're going through. Solomon is pointing us to the point that we cannot finish this life well without God. We cannot finish this life without God. So he's reminding us the only most important thing in life is God. And that's we need to pursue. To be able for us to finish well. You know, from what he says in verse 15, as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. It's totally true. What a waste. You know, you're working so hard, accumulating all these things. You never take any vacation. You know, when we first moved to America, this is interesting from another culture, you know, coming from New Zealand to America. And we've noticed, man, people, especially those Californians, they work so hard. And I thought, man, you guys, I actually said that to some of my good friends over there, and maybe we lost connection after that. Because I said to them, you guys, you live to work. Because, you know, they work so hard. Because they have big homes that they have to pay. So Work hard, big home, comes with big mortgage. Makes sense? So you have to walk, you have to work 102 hours a week to be able to pay the bank. But he says here, as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil. We all understand, my pastoral role in here, I never seen someone, all my brothers and sisters, they've gone now and be with the Lord. I never seen them make a final request. I need to take some money with me. They leave everything here. It's good in some sense. It's good to have those things. But also there's a bad side of it. And I think that's what Solomon is trying to point out to us. The bad side of it. When we leave some inheritance and pass it down to the wrong hands, it makes things wrong because that's a bad investment. We have seen in life, in news and in history, so many families or individuals being ruined their lives by having so much passing down. It's good if it goes to the right hands because they can put it in the good use for God's work. But when it goes to those, they don't know how to organize, don't know how to manage money, don't know how to invest well the resources that's been given, then that's become a big problem in there. The message puts it this way. Here's a piece of bad luck I've seen happen. A man hoards far more wealth than is good for him and then loses it all in a bad business deal. What's the point? Can't you just have enough? We all struggle with that. I've seen it, in my life, in my family, and maybe you guys as well. When we go to buy one thing, it's definitely, it's always not a one thing. Because we always want to buy more. We always want to get this and get that. The interesting thing here, when Solomon put it down here, there's also a grievous evil. Just as he gained, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? So what's the point of all this? Especially when you have all this and no God. So what's the point? And then lastly, when we look at how Solomon encouraging us or showing us, giving us some few insights, he would say, you are so content with what you have because you believe God is in control of everything in your life. You are so content with what you have. And that's the hardest thing to do. Trying to settle with little. I'm a big guy and I like big stuff. But same as you, because you have your own interests too. It's a good friend of mine. We had lunch with him, and then he would joyfully say, about 4 motorcycles is in my garage. Great. I didn't say anything, but I thought, well, Ecclesiastes. But the point is, I think we need to be content with what we have. The situation here, the preacher or Solomon is telling us, just have a good time. Take a break. It's biblical. It's biblical to have a vacation because you need to rest. God rested. But we can't because we are so consumed. We're so focused just trying to add a little bit more, add a little bit more. And then he said, no, it's meaningless. The one thing, the way the message put it, the verse 18 and 20, it says, after looking at the way things are on this earth, here's what I've decided is the best way to live. But remember, Ecclesiastes is the book of wisdom. You know, it's a wisdom literature, which means that it's a word of advice or some instruction. So we have to take it that way. So his advice, the best way to live, take care of yourself, have a good time, and make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. It's very, very tough in our society today. Just a very simple lifestyle. You know, I grew up in the island. We have not as much as what we have here, but I never seen poor in that way. But now I live in America, and I'm looking back now, and they said, oh, they're poor. What do you mean poor? I think the point here, when you're not satisfied with what you have, that makes you think that the more you have, the more happy or joy that you will get. But you just live simply, very simple life, and have less. So now, when you're still thinking about how you can cope with Mrs. Jones, you know, the Joneses, how on earth I'm going to pay them, and then you start to interpret things differently. And then you start to think and create ideas that they're spreading the news that you borrow so much. What about if God turned things around without you knowing it? What would you say? Would you say that God's still in control of everything? What happened in maybe after the end of the service and you go home and then the phone rang and pick up the phone and Mrs. Jones on the other side of the line. We're just blessed by God with so much. So the money that you borrowed 2 years or 3 years ago that you're supposed to pay it that time, don't worry about it. Use it as God's provision for you. God is so good to us. What would you say about that? Because he's in control. You know, I can picture a lady, a woman, picking up and then say, thank you, Mrs. Jones, praise the Lord, thank you. But just imagine the guy, you know, the husband. If Mr. Jones was there, you know, dude, we have our tax return, covers everything, and we're so thankful and we praise God for that. You know, the money that your family borrowed, don't worry about it. Please use that as a gift from God. No. This is the reply of someone that is still ignoring the fact that God is in control. No. We can't do that. No way. Why? Because there's a little bit of pride in there. But if God provide this way, then you know that he's in control of everything. Before you exit this afternoon, this service, I just want to remind you again the simple message, but it's go down really deep into your heart, message of the old fellow, that the peace of God is surrounding your life when you know God. When you know God. If you don't know God, it's a different story. It's a totally different story. You don't have that peace that surpasses all understanding. You don't have that joy. And the joy of having God, because God himself is the joy, is the true happy, is the true happiness, the true joy is Christ. And if he's not in the center of your life, it's very hard for you to experiencing the, to see these things. And if you don't believe that he is in control of every situation in your life, it's very hard for you to finish well. I don't think you will say it as Paul say that I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith and I finished the race. I don't think that you will be able to do that. Why? Because there is no hope to look forward to. So everything that you have is all about this earth, about this life. But it will come into an end. And lastly, because you know that God is in control of every situation in your life, you will be able to enjoy life a little bit. Even though that there's struggling, the struggles and different circumstances, I know that. We all have that. But deep, deep, deep inside, you will be able to enjoy what God has given you. You will be able to focus and understand now the reason why God allowed this situation between this person and the Joneses. Why? Because teaching this person may be the reason why this person go down to a financial situation because of mismanaging the resources that God has given. Now it's a time for you to learn from that. There are so many things that happen to us, but there is a purpose to it. And even if we make wrong decisions like Solomon, make bad choices in life, God can still turn those things around for his glory. Why? Because he controls everything. He knows everything. So he knows your struggles. But when we have the peace of God, the joy, and the strength to finish this life well, might as well just enjoy what we have. Instead of accumulating more resources, just use it for the glory of God. When we see opportunity, when we see doors and windows open to be able to help, God will give us the wisdom to be able to respond to these things. When we see the unfairness going on in our society and we just want to get out and fix it, stop it. You are not driving the bus at this point. Let him drive, but ask him, how can we help? We had a great time last week when we pray on Wednesday for our nation. We heard that some time ago, the good response is instead of complaining or trying to fix it in the way we think, it's time for us to get together and pray. He's able to help us to get through all this. So if you miss all of the things that we just mentioned, just take this home with you. That he is controlling everything in your life. God controls everything in your life, good and bad. Therefore, trust him. Solomon knows that very well because he learned from his father. He saw David trusting the Lord. And David said, for those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It never moved. Father, thank you for your word and the truth. The hardest thing to do, Father, is to take it to the next level of trusting you completely. Because sometimes some things that's happening right now in our lives are so real, and it's very hard to get through it. Even though that we believe that you're in control, there's always a temptation, Lord, of trying to put our fingers into it and trying to work it out. Father, I pray that you will help your church, help your people, how to trust you completely and believe that you're in control, full control of our lives. Help us as we walk out this week to keep reminding ourselves that we can have the peace of you, that we can have the joy, that we will be able to finish well and be able to enjoy what we have, even if it's little, because we believe that you are the sustainer of this life. You control everything in every situation in our hearts. So be with us this week. Thanks again for the book of Ecclesiastes. And commit the rest of the week to your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise, please, and sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Have a great Sunday.